Dominik Herrmann, der ist Professor an der Universität in Bamberg, wird uns jetzt über genau dieses Projekt etwas erzählen und wie wir damit testen können, wie gut Webseiten die Privatsphäre von ihren Besuchenden unterstützen. Herzlich willkommen, Dominik Herrmann.
All right, thank you. Good day, everyone. Enjoy the talk. This one will be in English because it is streamed and there may be people watching who are not speaking German, but I guess you should be fine. The slides will have lots of text, so by reading you will understand almost everything. So before I tell you what Privacy Score is, I'll just give you a brief idea of our motivation why we started the project. And before I moved to Bamberg, actually I was in Hamburg, which is in northern Germany, and it's one of the largest cities in Germany and therefore has a very professional website. And you know what? We browsed this hamburg.de website and we found pages which were of interest for particular kinds of people, for interest for those people who are poor, for instance, and who need social security, who need welfare. And obviously, if you're visiting such a website, you know that's kind of sensitive because the fact that you are going there already tells others that you might have social problems or actually financial problems. And therefore, hopefully no one knows about that except the city of Hamburg because they will have your own register anytime. However, it turns out that there are kinds of lots of third parties, as they are called, that learn that you are visiting this site, maybe not you particularly by name, but they will learn that your browser is visiting this website. For instance, services like Google Analytics or IOAM.de, which is a German tracking company, and so on and so on. And this was interesting. Yeah? Is it only true in Hamburg, or are other cities doing that as well? So there's no transparency about that. No one knows what the cities are doing. Before we decided to start a new project and actually write code and get our hands dirty, we tried to find any existing projects which would be useful to solve our question, meaning, is there any scanning tool outside which can immediately answer the question, given 20 websites, which of them does tracking, which of them doesn't do tracking, which does more tracking, which does less tracking? So we wanted a ranking portal, something like that. And it turns out all what we found did not really satisfy our needs. So we found websites which are mainly doing single-site scans. So they are scanning a single site for a particularly interesting or less interesting security or privacy property. One of the most famous ones would be Qualys service SSL Labs, which checks for SSL, which is encryption for web servers, mainly security problems. There's another project from Northern Europe, which is called WebCall. They are actually looking into privacy problems, so you see also third-party requests and cookies and things like that, but they are also focusing on single sites only. So if you have 20 pages, you would have to enter them 20 times, and you would have to compare the results on your own and come up with a ranking on your own. So there are lots of other single-site scanners, but none of them really answered our question. So some of them are targeted specifically at the server operators. For instance, urlscan.io, they are really focusing on the operators of a site and not on users, not on us. And they actually allow you to remove the result which you are seeing from the front page. So they are really not creating transparency, but they are only helping the admins of the site. There are other sites around, for instance, the Observatory by Mozilla. They are nice. Again, they are focusing on single sites, and additionally, they enforce a predefined rating scheme on each and every result you're obtaining. So definitely, there have been clever people around, and they thought about what should be plus 5, what should be minus 10, what should be minus 20 in a total score, but you have to live with that. There's no way to change that, and that's what we didn't like. We wanted users, you, in the end, actually give the ability to do with the ranking what you want, what you find important, and that's why we created Privacy Score in the end. So the main idea of the project is to create a public site, a public benchmarking site, which allows you to create publicly visible rankings of multiple sites which have something in common. For instance, all schools in Germany, all hospitals in Austria, or something else. Whatever comes to your mind, whatever you can put in a list of websites. And by having those rankings online, we believe that this creates actually an incentive, so a strong need for the operators of those sites at the very bottom of the ranking to do something about security and privacy, because they will see their peers, their competitors in the end, which are far further up, and hopefully this will create an urge for them to do something about it. So from a user perspective, from your perspective, what the site looks like, and I will show you screenshots in a second, is that you can upload lists of URLs, of websites, and basically wait until they are scanned and then look at the ranking. So you already can influence the ranking according to your needs at the moment, but only in a very easy way. So the soon means there will be much more coming in the future. Interesting in terms of extending this project, everything's open source, everything's open data, so you can extend it in whatever ways you want, and if you're working at a university, you actually could do research with the data. So one thing which is really novel, in contrast to all those other services, is the fact that we have annotated URL lists. So this means that it's not just a list of domains, not like google.com and microsoft.com and so on, but you can actually say for each and every website that this is located in Germany, this is located in Bavaria, for instance, this company has such and such many employees. So you can have attributes, and those attributes can later be used to do interesting things with the rankings and to actually find out whether large sites are different than small sites, whether there are regional differences, and so on. And we will get to that later in the talk. So in the following, I will show you a couple of screenshots of actual rankings, which have been done previously, which you can actually also visit on privacyscore.org right now. So we have a lot of tests actually running at the moment, and in order to make it a little bit more usable, there are four categories. So the first category checks for the fact whether a website does tracking or not, or actually whether there are third parties which do tracking. The second category looks at the question whether the encryption which is used when you access the website is useful, is effective, or whether it's totally insecure. The third one checks the same for mail server, so when you send mails to the mail server of the website. And the final one is kind of the MISC category, which contains a series of tests which check whether best practice protections against other common attacks are in place or not. And all of that affects your privacy, because if the website is insecure and someone steals the database, your sensitive data, which might be on the website, will be stolen as well. So this is an example of the list of large German cities, because remember, I wanted to compare whether Hamburg.de does something different than, for instance, Berlin.de or Munich.de. So each of those rankings has kind of a header which tells you this ranking contains 20 pages, 20 largest cities, and as you can see, the very first green line, zero of them passed all checks. So sad news, none of them is perfect. And in fact, 15 of them failed at least one critical check, so that's even sadder news. So there's lots of optimization potential, to say it a little bit nicer. And the actual ranking of the first 15, so that you have the chance to read something, is given here. At the very top at the moment would be Dortmund.de, and at the very bottom of those 15 would actually be Hamburg.de, which is already telling. What you see in those columns here, NoTrack, EncWeb, Attacks, and EncMail, are those four categories. So whenever you see a green check mark, this means all checks in this category turned out fine. If you see something yellow, yellow would be the most dominant color, that means at least one check failed or was not according to what we would expect. And if you see something red, that means something really critical failed, and that usually means there's no encryption when you go to the website, or there is severe tracking going on if you enter the website. So remember, I said you can change that ranking according to your preferences, and you can do that already today and now by changing the sort order of those columns here. There are small tiny arrows which you can click in order to rearrange the columns, and this will affect the sorting. So if for you it's more important that the encryption to the mail server is done properly, you would have to move that from the very right to the very left. And then it would completely change the sorting, because then this is your most important, highest priority factor. So there's also for each and every site in those rankings a detailed result. And I won't tell you all the technical details of how this works, but we can do that in the Q&A after the talk if you want to. So in the NoTrack category, we would look for third parties which might learn that you are visiting the site. We might look at cookies. We check whether the web server is located in the European Union. We check whether the mail server is located in the European Union, because in this case, European data protection law applies. In contrast, it wouldn't apply if those servers are located in the United States, for instance. We also look at those, it is a text category, where we check for unintentional information leaks. We check for various HTTP security headers, which have to be in place in order to make sure that the server or the user cannot be hacked trivially. For each and every check, there's a short description what the check does, what the feature does if it's implemented correctly, and what it means if it's not working properly. So the second, the third and the fourth category, the encryption to the web server and the encryption to the mail server, are basically the same pairs of checks, just done for different targets. And what we do check is whether websites automatically redirect you to HTTPS, meaning when you enter google.com, whether you are automatically forwarded to https://google.com, meaning it will secure the connection for you automatically. An embarrassingly large number of sites doesn't do that at the moment, and those will have a critical red cross in the ENCWeb part of privacy score. So whenever you see that, usually it means that there's no redirection taking place. So in the following slides, I will show you what we can do with this amount of data we are actively collecting. None of that is currently easily accessible on the site. You would have to basically dump or download the database dump in order to obtain those statistics on your own, but you could do that at the moment. And so students of mine are actively working in projects to make those analysis, which I have done myself manually before the talk, to automate those and to actually make them available via the website, so that those statistics are easily retrievable in the future. So still talking about those 20 websites, we looked at the question how many different companies, how many different trackers will learn about the fact that you're visiting one of those homepages of the top 20 German cities. And at least for me, quite surprisingly, Hamburg was actually on the very top with 40 companies which are known to actively track users and try to profile them and try to figure out what they are doing on the web. So profiling means when you visit other websites, those trackers will know that you have previously been to Hamburg, which sites you have visited, whether you have been to this social welfare site, and this fact may be relayed to other websites which you are visiting. So those websites will then learn about your profile based on the past. And the other statistics are mainly just details about the fact how many servers are contacted and how many cookies are set. So you can, for now, just ignore them. We will just focus on the known trackers in this talk. And you see that there's basically two cities in Germany, the largest two, which are really outstanding here, and they are really way out of all the other cities. So the whole list of the 20 ones looks like this. About two-thirds has at least one known tracker, and the remaining ones has no trackers. So there are almost half of them is basically doing fine in terms of privacy, but more than half of them has something to do from a privacy perspective. So now if you would be interested and if we would have time to analyze that properly, we would look at those 40 trackers. So a couple of them are on the slide here. And you would find a lot of US-based companies who are doing tracking on the global internet. So the fact that you're visiting pages in Hamburg will eventually, immediately be relayed to foreign companies which are not under our jurisdiction. And that's something most users are probably not aware when they are visiting hamburg.de. So interesting fun fact, those companies who are doing heavy tracking tend to have websites which they are not doing on their own. So the city of Hamburg is not having a webmaster who is doing all the HTML and doing the layout. They have outsourced that to a media company. And look at the distribution of sites who are outsourcing their stuff to media agencies and the ones who are not doing that. And you see that the top is much higher likely to outsource than the bottom. So this is something which you can keep in mind. So if a very professionally layouted website, you see one at of a city, then this usually means it will be done by a media agency. And this usually will mean that they will have some form of tracking on that site. So we also looked at, for those 20 sites, for the encryption of the website and the mail server. And again, I'm not going into details here, just as an overview. Whenever you see something green, see something green? That would be totally fine. Yeah, so nothing on the slide is totally fine. When you see something in bright red, this means this is a critical check which failed, which means the encryption to that site is either non-present or not effective. So you see there are a couple of those who really have to optimize something. Be aware of the fact that this is still in beta, so none of the checks have been tested extensively, so we are basically learning by doing, so some of those results might be actually completely wrong or slightly off, so you have always to take them with a grain of salt. So another interesting thing which will be possible in the near future is to actually track changes. So all sites which are submitted to Privacy Score are regularly rescanned. So in the background, a job is running which pulls each and every site out of the database and will rescan it whenever it has time. And this allows us to look at things when they are changing. And what we did, for instance, is we looked at the largest political parties in Germany. So this would be CDU, SPD, Linke, FDP, Grüne, and so on. And we looked again at the number of known trackers which are on their homepages. And we did that before the general elections in August, and I repeated it today. And the differences are subtle, but they are there. Yeah, so you see the party Die Linke, they had zero known trackers on 14th of August, and they apparently changed something, so now they're doing some tracking on their website. And for instance, Die Partei and Piraten, which are smaller parties, they are doing no tracking whatsoever, but nothing has changed. So only there's only one party which actually did improve, and this would be SPD, Sozialdemokraten. They removed their tracking, which was present before the elections, so they are not tracking anymore. And then there is the very bottom, the state where I am now from, so this would be Bavaria, the CSU, and they apparently changed something dramatically. Yeah, so you see how the number of trackers increased from 5 to 38. So I have no idea what's the purpose of that, but if you visit the site and you have like Privacy Badger, for instance, installed, you can see all those 38 tracking companies who are looking at what you're visiting on the web. So another thing, which will also be possible soon, is geographic analysis. So this needs information about where websites are located or which jurisdiction they belong to. And an example for such an analysis is the list of universities of Germany, where we have a column which is called Land in Germany, which would be state in English, which is basically one of the 16 federal states. So you see HH, which would be Hamburg, you see BY, which would be Bavaria, for instance. And now you can do interesting things. You can check whether there are some states where security and privacy in universities is better than other states. So you can actually play them against each other. And then, for instance, the Bavarians could say, well, look at those northern states, they are doing so poorly. Look at us, we are doing so greatly. Turns out it's much more complicated. So I have two maps of Germany here, which are color coding the information, how many websites in the specific state are doing good in terms of tracking, left-hand side, or are doing bad in terms of encryption. And the darker the color, the worse the result. So a example would be the state of Hamburg, which is at the very top. I can try to show it with my mouse here, which has a fraction of 32%, means 32% of the universities in the state of Hamburg are doing perfectly fine in terms of tracking. I have to repeat, only 32%. Yeah, so this means more than two-thirds are doing some form of tracking. In comparison, in Bavaria, very bottom right, 61% are doing fine. So in terms of tracking, Bavaria leads. Yeah. In terms of encryption for the connection to the website, this is a little bit different. Yeah, so you see 69% of the Bavarian universities have a severe problem with their encryption. So there's either no encryption at all, or they have encryption set up not according to best practices. And in contrast, northern countries are doing even worse. Yeah, for instance, Schleswig-Holstein has 67, a little bit better. And for instance, Brandenburg has 60, and so on. Mecklenburg-Vorpommern has 100%, which means all universities there, but as far as I know, there's only one or two, so be careful with statistics, have a problem with encryption. One thing which is interesting for sysadmins, and which may actually be the one use case which makes a privacy score most prominent, is that we check for well-known information leaks. And information leaks in this talk means we query for URLs where you shouldn't have access to, or where at least there shouldn't be files sitting around publicly hosted to the global internet. And those, for instance, would be a file called phpinfo.php, which tells you internal configuration details about the server. Or it could mean that there's a directory called .git or .svn, which would mean that the operators of that site are having their software repository where all the code is in publicly hosted on their website. So what you would be able to do then is you could download all the whole folder of the Git repository, and you would actually be able to look at all the source files which are used to run the website. You might even actually get the passwords which are used in order to access the database or other services on the website. So one example here, some website from Bulgaria, which was uploaded to a privacy score, turned out to have an information leak in a phpinfo.php file. And what you can learn from the fact that you can access this site, everyone can access this site, is the following. See the version number, PHP version 5.5.9-1, Ubuntu 4.14. Is anyone in the room who has a feeling about whether that's current? You're a sysadmin, yeah? Is it current? It's not current, yeah, it's totally non-current. Actually, the most current version provided by Ubuntu would be version 4.22. This means there have been 8 versions which have been created due to security issues. So if I was the evil hacker now, I would go off and try to find out what vulnerabilities were contained in version 14, in 15, in 16, in 17, and so on. Yeah. Because those might be still present on that website, and this might be something to attack actually the web server. And in future versions of Privacy Score, we will actually look for outdated versions and will create a dedicated check for that. At the moment, you basically have to do that on your own. But again, data is already there. It's just a matter of manual labor at the moment. So at the moment, there are more than 20 lists uploaded by volunteers. And I hope that this will increase after today's talk dramatically. And in order to give you an idea of what we already have in the database, there's basically a sample of those 20 lists. So there have been all German public and private health insurance companies, so you can check whether public health insurance companies are doing better in terms of tracking than privately owned companies. There's a list of all universities and other institutions of higher education, list of political parties in Germany, Switzerland, a lot of authorities, so public organizations, list of municipalities, you have seen the top 20 sites, the top 20 cities, hospitals in the EU, some data protection authorities, so those would be the professional public bodies who are responsible for safeguarding your privacy, so hopefully they are doing fine in terms of privacy on their own sites. You can check that out in order to find out whether that's the case. And banks and news sites and so on. Actually, we also, just for fun, someone uploaded a list of all Chaos Computer Club, Airfas and Chaos Drafts. And it was you, okay, great. And look at what we found. Yeah, we are in Vienna here, and this is just a coincidence, probably. No, I don't think so. But Vienna's C3W is at rank one here at the moment. Yeah. So, and I can tell you, you are the only ones who are having a green check in the attacks category. Yeah, because you're setting all the headers, no information leaks, and this basically pulls you to the very top. So actually, it's not. I mean, you. I'm not sure who runs the web server. Maybe if he is here, all right. So he probably knew about Privacy Score before and optimized it to actually come to rank one, which is exactly the point of running Privacy Score. Yeah. So we want to incentivize people to, like a game. Yeah. You can obtain ranks, yeah? By improving your site. You can make your way upwards, and that this worked in this case is just a nice coincidence. So. Before I'm closing this talk and opening the floor for your questions, there are two important things to say before everyone goes off and runs their own copy of Privacy Score. There are ethical and legal considerations. You shouldn't do that without making sure you are aware of the consequences. So first, let's talk about ethical considerations. A lot of people after those talks have asked me whether that's actually a good idea to have a site which makes it very transparent who is running an insecure web server. And that's exactly the purpose of Privacy Score. Yeah? All the sites at the bottom of rankings will be those who are potentially vulnerable. And I mean, that wasn't so obvious before. I mean, they were vulnerable before, but now it's very visible that they are vulnerable. And my answer to that is, yeah, sure, that's the case. But that's the case for each and every dual-use tool. And in the security scene, we have so many of them. So we created another dual-use tool which can be used for good purposes, which can be used for bad purposes. And in order to find a balance of not helping the bad guys too much, we decided that we will make not available, easily accessible lists of vulnerabilities in those servers. I mean, again, you can download the whole data dump. It's there. It's a couple of 100 megabytes at the moment. If you get the raw data as well, it will be a couple of gigabytes. And you can dig into that, and you can dig out all the vulnerabilities on your own. But we will not provide you with a list of the top 50 most insecurely configured web servers. So that is the line which I wouldn't like to cross. So the second consideration is we are running a scanning site, right? So this means anyone can upload a URL and our machines are going to scan it. So this is a classical denial of service opportunity. And if you wouldn't have any safeguards, this could be used by people to overload web servers on purpose. And for the web servers, it would look like that we are attacking them, and that's obviously not our purpose. So in order to safeguard against that, there's a relatively easy rate limiting enforced at the moment, which allows you to scan a site only every 30 minutes. So each and every scan imposes some load to the web server. This is unavoidable. And what we can ensure and enforce is that this load is only enforced each and every 30 minutes in the worst case, if it would be done on purpose. And this turned out to be quite nice and quite workable so far. So in terms of ethical considerations, we are not aware of anything which actually would make us not run the site. But there could be legal considerations which are so problematic that you would not like to run the site. And the bottom line, or the TLDR, is that in Germany you can do it. Yeah, so we have talked to and worked together with people from University of Kassel, where a very famous legal group works. And we have basically looked at three things which you would have to consider if you're planning to run a site like Privacy Score. And they didn't find any strong evidence that it would be, from a legal perspective, such severe consequences that you wouldn't do it. So first problem is we are analyzing websites without asking for consent from the operators. So we don't ask before we scan. Yeah, we just do it. And actually, if there's a robots.txt file which says, do not scan this website automatically, which would hinder Google from visiting and indexing it, we will on purpose ignore it, because we are not Google. Yeah, we are a scanning server which is intentionally made to scan sites. However, if a site operator approaches us and says, do not scan us again, this is a breach, whatever, we won't do it. Yeah, I'll tell you about it in a second. The other thing is, results are interpreted and used to obtain a ranking. So obviously we are doing some sort of judgment here. And those judgments are fine as long as you have evidence to found those judgments. And we have the raw data of the scan, so we can found our judgments. So if SSL is not there, we can show the data which proves that SSL is not there. And that's enough to state it on a website. And finally, we are publishing it online, meaning everyone else can read it. And this actually could also be a problem, but this is governed by free speech in Germany, yeah, and probably in Austria as well. So this can be done as long as you're not infringing other people's rights, which means it might be problematic if you scan sites of private persons, so of regular citizens, because that could actually infringe their privacy rights. So be careful with that. At the moment, we are not doing anything against that. So since June, this site is up and running, and we have only received a single abuse report, and this one was an automated one, so no human complaint, but a machine, because a mail server was scanned, and obviously they had a intrusion detection system, which was quite easily triggered, and it sent us an email, so we replied, and it's fine. So we are still scanning that one. And as I said, there's a whitelisting policy. Everyone can approach us and say, we are not... You can scan us, but we don't like it. And if there's legal pressure, we actually may comply and not scan again, but then it will be published on the website. So for this URL, there will be a banner which says, this website is not scanned again because of legal pressure. The final and last scan results will be still there. So if those are really bad, you will, see them forever. So, and that's, free speech. I say only it's free speech, and as long as we're not brought to court, this should be fine. So summing up, Privacy Score is a website which allows you to test and rank websites according to security and privacy aspects. We hope that this creates transparency, awareness, and actually an incentive for server operators to change. Actually, it worked for the Chaos Erfa in Wien. And it worked also during the election when we did this for the German parties and we Twittered it, and obviously those parties who are doing well in those rankings, they made use of it for their campaigns. So this tweet got retweeted more than 200 times within 48 hours. So if you find a good cause to make use of such rankings, I think you can actually create awareness. So as a closing remark, I would be interested to hear from you what we are missing, what you would like us to implement. And if you have no further questions, I encourage you to upload your own lists today or as soon as you have time. Thanks so much.
Well, thank you, Dominik. The Chaos Computer Club in Vienna already had that configuration before we knew about privacyscore.org, thanks to the great people who take care of our own servers. That's not only me, there's more people who do that in their spare time to take care of that. And obviously, we care about the privacy of our visitors, otherwise, this would be pretty ironic to do a privacy
week.
Regarding the testing tools, that really helps. We've seen that with other testing tools, it takes some time to get picked up, but it really helps to have a publicly visible scoring system that shows how websites do perform. This really helps to get things secure and private and better and improve things. So thank you for doing that one. We do have a few minutes for questions. Any questions? Yep. There's a microphone.
You can also ask questions in German, obviously, yeah? I'll translate for the stream. So if that's a worry to you, go ahead in German. It's fine for me.
I was going to ask that, but I'm going to do it in English now. Is it like impossible to have four green check marks? Because if you don't manage to get four green check marks, who will?
So far, no one has. Yeah, but that's because we are very strict. Yeah, so we are basically checking for everything which is considered potentially a problem. And that's why almost no one, I know no one who is doing perfectly fine, meaning green on the encryption checks, because it's very difficult to come up with in this case, OpenSSL configuration, which is fine in all regards. Yeah. So Personally, I don't think that's a problem to have a yellow mark in the encryption category at the moment, because you can do a perfectly fine setup, which would be perfectly secure from a practical point of view without having a green check mark at the moment. So that's part one of the question. Part two is, in the future, we will have the possibility that experts can actually come up with their own view of what is best practice. So you would have a kind of drop-down list of selections, and for instance, you could, if you trust him, he could upload a ranking scheme which says, our server is perfectly fine, so I'll reconfigure all the checks so that if all of them are met, we will be green. And then all other sites which are configured similarly will also be green. So that is something we would like to implement very soon.
Also, as an addition, the project is officially still in beta. And so not all the rankings that you see are perfectly reliable at this moment yet. So some tests are really hard to determine if that the answer from a server is really fine. So this, I guess, will be improved in the upcoming future. So as tests become more reliable, so do the results become more reliable. And regarding the improvement features, I do have a few suggestions. I would really like to talk to you about that some point in time. If you're still here, that would be really awesome. I like to give feedback and help improve projects that help. There's another question in the back.
I hope it wasn't answered in the first part because I came late because of lunch. But I am wondering if there's any groups or anybody that focuses on the part where the question is, what are these companies going to do with? Why? I mean, I think actually it should be legal to have this tracking on websites, and that you don't even get a notice like, okay, we're doing that. Like now we have the notice that cookies are used, for example. But I think there should be like a bigger, I don't know, like awareness of what could be done or what maybe is done. And the question is, does somebody focus on that?
So I'm not aware of any ongoing efforts to create focused awareness for that aspect. I mean, all the privacy organizations, so Chaos Computer Club, for instance, but also Gesellschaft für Informatik in Deutschland, for instance, all of them are talking about that, and all of them are always warning about the fact that profiling is a problem, people have to do some self-defense, but in essence, I think most, if I asked for a show of hands how many people are having an ad block in their browser, I guess much more people would raise their hands than if I asked for the question whether you're having additionally an anti-tracking protection. Of course, I mean, he and me probably are doing that, but the problem is, while ads are very visible and they are a nuisance, so there's a huge incentive for you to have some software which kills them, tracking is invisible. So, I mean, you won't see it. Yeah, it will not bother you because the consequences are not tangible. Yeah, I mean, if the price for some good is higher in an online shop because the website, based on your profile, knows that you're more wealthy than the average person, this is something you will never know unless you talk to poor people, what they are paying on the same page on the same day for the same product. And that's why it's very difficult to create the need for a protection against profiling.
Okay, if you're interested in how to install an ad blocker or anti-tracking plugin into your browsers, there's of course the CryptoParty project running all over the world, also in Vienna, and there's regularly workshops which will teach you how to do that and how to work with these plugins to make your browsing more private. One last question, a quick one. Any takers? Doesn't look like it. Everything has been answered. Well, thank you, Dominic.
Thank you.